Less than 2 weeks to go, and a new debt ceiling plan may be too much and too late.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. President Obama and Congress have until August 2nd to come up with a debt limit compromise, or the Treasury Department says the U.S. will likely default. We're getting details and reaction today about a bipartisan proposal from a group of senators called the Gang of Six to raise the debt ceiling while cutting $3.7 trillion out of the deficit over the next 10 years. Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is with us live now to talk about it. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So how is the Gang of Six plan unveiled yesterday different from other plans that we've heard about?
Well, it is a big, comprehensive plan, and it has at least some bipartisan support. Not all the details are spelled out yet, but over 10 years, it cuts a lot of spending, including for major entitlement programs like Medicare, and it raises some tax revenue from reforms, loophole closings, allowing the Bush tax cuts on the wealthy to expire. President Obama finds a lot to like.
It would not match perfectly with some of the approaches that we've taken, but I think that we're in the same playing field.
But, John, we have less than 2 weeks to go until that Treasury-imposed debt ceiling deadline. Do we have time to turn this four-page outline into law?
No. This is really complicated. It requires a lot of delicate language in a very politically charged atmosphere. It would take a short-term debt ceiling extension to give Congress more time.
And the stock markets had their best day of the year yesterday. Does that mean, John, investors are betting on a deal?
There's a lot of early momentum behind the deal, but I fear that it's mostly wishful thinking or hoping that a big compromise is possible. As the details come out and people realize that this is just too much heavy lifting, I think that optimism will be tempered. Remember, there is a plan B from Senate leaders to do the minimum necessary to avoid default.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
Tomorrow marks 1 year to the day that President Obama signed the Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Bill into law. Now, much of the Wall Street crackdown has yet to transpire, and Marketplace's Bob Moon reports special interests on both sides are still battling over efforts to put those new regulations into effect.
Like mosquitoes drawn to a swamp, financial industry lobbyists have been swarming Washington, looking to make the most of what's become a rulemaking bog.
There are 240-some rules that are required by the law, and that's really where the action is.
Bill Allison has been tracking the law's progress for the Sunlight Foundation, a lobbying watchdog group. He says Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Morgan Stanley topped the list of banks spending tens of millions to sway the law in their favor. Congress didn't actually write new rules, but left that to the regulators.
The agencies have logged over 2,100 meetings with outside parties interested in influencing these final rules.
And it's not just the banks.
There have been consumer groups, labor unions, and I think that that makes for a very, very slow process.
Regulators have fallen behind on 120 rulemaking deadlines due on the bill's anniversary, but Allison points out, look at all the work that's been created for the lobbyists in Washington.
In one way, you can look at it as kind of a full employment act for K Street.
I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The United Nations today formally declared a famine in parts of Somalia, saying it needs hundreds of millions of dollars in the coming weeks. The last time the UN declared a famine, 30 years ago in Ethiopia. Let's do the numbers. World shares are higher right now. American Airlines said this morning it's buying more than 460 new planes, more than half of those aircraft from Airbus, the rest from Boeing. American calls the $80 billion order the biggest in history. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow surged 202 points to close at 12,587.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ. For the latest in healthcare, Marketplace recently visited Russia for an intriguing look at the changing healthcare system. Visit marketplace.org and click on the health link for more.
The space shuttle Atlantis is expected back on Earth tomorrow, and that touchdown will mark the beginning of a new arrangement with Russia to get American astronauts to the International Space Station. Now, that reliance means more than $1 billion for Russia's space industry. From Moscow, here's reporter Peter Van Dyke.
Instead of touching down gracefully on home soil, NASA astronauts will now land with a bump in a Soyuz capsule. Russia's space agency is contracted to take astronauts to the space station through 2016. By then, one ticket will cost NASA $63 million. Russia has lots of plans for the money.
There are a number of new projects in manned space flight which had been started in previous 3-4 years. And those projects, they absolutely need a lot of funding.
Anatoly Zak is a journalist who runs the website Russian Space Web. While U.S. companies race to replace the shuttle, he says Russia must develop better spacecraft too.
Russian space industry absolutely needs to develop also new spacecraft which will match or exceed the capabilities of the new generation U.S. or whoever comes online.
That won't be easy. The Soyuz rocket has not changed fundamentally since the 1960s. Former cosmonaut Georgi Grechko says it's time to move on.
I remember Khrushchev's expression that we make rockets like sausages. But if you eat even the best German sausages for 30 years, you get sick of them. We need to do something new.
The Soviets made and ate a lot of sausages, but you didn't eat them if you could afford better. 50 years after Yuri Gagarin's historic first flight, Russia's space industry has a chance to dine again at the top table. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, a new survey out this month says there's a big trust gap in the workplace. Merit's research found only 10% of all employees said they trust the management of their company in times of uncertainty. A slightly better 14% of those employees said they think their management is ethical and honest. The highest percentage of employees who trust the people for whom they work comes from the youngest age group polled, 18 to 24-year-olds. So much for rebellious youth, eh? I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. We're online at marketplace.org. The podcast is there. You can check out the numbers, too, throughout the day, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You could say they had an identity crisis in the run-up to the financial crisis, public company or private.
If it walks, flies, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And Fannie and Freddie walk, fly, and quack like private companies.
Only they're really not. I'm Kai Rizdahl. That story next time on Marketplace. The numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.